We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Here, bless everyone watching, all for your glory, God. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Man, everybody, how we doing? Redemption Church, we doing good today? Hope everybody's doing great. Welcome everybody, Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. My name is Chris Fluitt. And I need to welcome you all into a new year. Happy New Year to everybody. I hope it's a happy one so far. We're 3 days into it. I hope you're enjoying it. I'm just going to purpose in my heart. You know what? I'm going to enjoy every moment. I'm going to enjoy every day because every day is the day that the Lord has made. We're going to do that. We pray that you have a blessed 2021. We're already needing to get ready to put that on checks and write our dates and not put that other year we will no longer speak of. But 2021, I believe God wants to bless you this year. Anybody believe that?
Yes. Yeah.
I want to encourage you to seek after God for this new year. Have you already done that? I want you to continue to do that. I want to encourage you to read your Bible more this year. We're really making a push for that. Listen, we are not guilting people if they don't read every word in their Bible at all. What we want to do is challenge you to read more of it and to understand more of it than ever before. I want you to do that. I want more than ever before this year to be the year that you know God's plan and you understand God's plan for you. I encourage you to be a person of prayer this year. Be prayerful every day that you live, okay? Every day from now on. In fact, I think we should pray about all this right now. Would you just bow your head and start to pray to God? Lord, we thank you for this new year. And right now we want your blessing in it. Lord, we want your purpose in it. Lord, help us to study your word more than we ever had. Help us to understand it, Lord. Help us to be people of prayer. Help us to be walking in your paths of righteousness in Jesus' name. As a church, we want to bless your name and honor you more than any other year, God. Lord, let this be the year. Lord, we're asking you for your help, God, that you lead us and that you guide us. Lord, that we'd see more of your glory this year than ever before. We want it. We desire it. Help us to walk in it. In Jesus' name, now clap your hands to the Lord. He heard your prayer. I promise you, he's going to do his part. Don't you believe that? Don't you feel that? Gosh, if you don't believe that, we just need to scrap this sermon and preach something else because you need to believe that he hears and he answers. You got to believe those two things. All right. As we begin this new year and this first sermon of the new year, I have a simple question for you. Here's the question. What is the most important number in the Bible? What is the most important number in the Bible? You might be surprised that there is some debate about this question. Spoiler alert, Christians will debate about anything. There are actually people who devote great time and effort to studying numerology in the Bible. You've got your Greek scholars, you got your Hebrew scholars, but they got nothing on the calculator math nerds of the Bible.
Yes.
Got their abacus out there like, oh. Do you understand this? Because the Hebrew language is a mathematical language. And each letter of the Hebrew language actually holds a numeric value. So somebody comes along and they count the number of a word. And then they count the number of a sentence. Then they count the number of a verse. And they count the number of a chapter. And they will tell you how many numbers it is. There are endless books, actually, on the complexity of the numeric value patterns in Scripture. Because guess what? They aren't crazy. There is an absolute pattern, even in how the Word of God is written with numbers. And I'm not even smart enough to figure that out. I always divide by zero and the world explodes. Have you ever noticed, though, as you read in your Bible in good old English or whatever language, Spanish, any whatever language you're reading, you just notice certain numbers show up over and over in the Bible count. Anybody notice that? Some of these numbers even hold symbolic revelation. The number 7 seems pretty important in Scripture, right? I've heard more times than I can count that 7 is God's perfect number. Anybody ever hear that? I've heard that most of my life. The world was created in 7 days. There are 7 candles on the lampstand in the temple. There are 7 letters to the churches of Revelation. There are 7 years of tribulation. There are even 7 Hebrew words in the first verse of your Bible. The number 6. About the number 6. Shows up a lot. God created man on the 6th day. And we know the man of sin, that is the Antichrist, that his name will hold a numeric value of 666. I didn't say that last one. Don't be afraid of it. The number 40 shows up frequently. How about that one? It rained 40 days, 40 nights. The children of Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years. Jesus prayed and fasted 40 days in the wilderness. All this holds symbolic meaning. 12 tribes, 12 disciples seems important. 4 gospels, 4 corners of the earth, 4 angels, and 4 living creatures. They play a major role in the book of Revelation. Every 50 years brings something called the year of Jubilee. And 50 days after Passover is something called Pentecost. I grew up Pentecostal. It was a long time before I realized what Pentecostal mean. One day I was, what does Pentecost mean? They were 50. And I'm like, what? That doesn't make no sense. But I studied out, made more sense. 50 days after Passover is Pentecost. All right. There is a depth of number study in Scripture that seems endless. But what is the most important number in the Bible? Well, there is a growing support among ever-learning scholarship that the most important number is 8675309. And it is oft disputed that this was the Lord's cell phone number. I'll let the Bible scholars debate that on their own time. If y'all didn't get that one, I just don't even know what to say. All right. I want to tell you, the most important number in the Bible is the number 1. Everybody say 1. In the year 2021, I believe that the key for your success, the key for your family success, the key for your career and financial success, and your church's success, Redemption, can be found in the number 1. Why is the number 1 of such great importance? Well, there is one God. You better know it. There is one God. The concept that there is one God is an essential Bible truth. If you want to make God happy, if you want to see God's favor show up, just begin to declare that there is one God who created everything. I'm telling you, you want to feel the power of God, start to declare all the other gods of this world are fake. They're phony baloney, but there is one true God and he loves me. I'm telling you, that's powerful. That's powerful. There are not two gods. There are not three gods. There are not a polyphony of gods. There is not a collection of God that together they control the world. You got your Hermes over here. You got your Jupiter over here. You got your Medusa. I don't know what she's doing over, but you've got, no, not at all. That's Roman philosophy. That's Greek philosophy. No, there is not a collection of gods that runs this universe. There is only one. And I don't know about you, but I get so just pumped up when I start to consider that other people are worshiping other gods. But there is one true God, and somehow he's revealed himself to me. And one of the most important verses in the Bible. Listen, every verse in the Bible is true. every verse in the Bible you should read and you should believe. But I'm telling you, I'm going to point out one verse that is incredibly powerful. And this verse declares that your God is one. Jesus himself was asked, what is the most important command in Scripture? And here is what Jesus said. It is in Mark chapter 12, beginning at verse 28. This is one of those verses that you ought to have a Bible and you ought to have a little colored highlighter, and it needs to be pink or yellow or whatever, green, blue, whatever color you want. You got that Scripture? Let's look at it. Verse 28, Mark 12. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him this: of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, Jesus answered, is this. And I want you to say it with us. This is our Scripture memory for this month. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. I'm going to teach you a Hebrew word. It's Shema. Everyone say Shema.
Shema.
The word Shema is the Hebrew word for hear. And have you ever, like, just quoted part of something? Because just to save time, you know, I pledge allegiance to the flag. And you know the rest. Yada, yada. You know the thing. You know, right? Well, that's what they do with this word in the Hebrew culture. They call it the Shema. And when they refer to the Shema, they refer to everything after the word hear. And they are so in tune with this Scripture found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, that when someone just says, you know, the Shema, you know, hear, they know everything that comes after it. They're able to quote it. Not only that, they still try to obey it. And over the course of this sermon series, we're going to be looking deeply at the truth of the Shema. What does the word Shema means? It means hear, as in hear, O Israel. Jesus quotes Deuteronomy 6:4 to an audience who was very familiar with this verse. This command is known to this day as the Shema. They were so familiar with this command that they would reference the entire chapter on one word. That word was Shema. By simply saying Shema, they understood what was being declared. Here's what was being declared. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord, this one Lord, your God, with all your heart. Love this one Lord, your God, with all your soul. Love this Lord, this one God, with all your mind. Love this one Lord, your God, with all your strength. Jesus calls it the greatest command. You ought to know this verse. This verse really ought to be highlighted. Mark up your Bible, guys, with these verses like this. This greatest command is there is one Lord God, and that this one Lord God deserves all of you. All of you. We would do well to remember there is one God and then reserve all our worship for that one God. I'm telling you, the Dallas Cowboys should not get his worship. Hey, your Texas Longhorns put a hurting on those Kansas Jayhawks the other day. Sorry, Jay Dykes. But listen, they should not get your, God should not lose any of his worship to a sports team, to a political figure, to something exciting that happened, to winning the lottery. No, there is one God, and your heart is reserved for him. Your soul is reserved for him. Your mind is reserved for him. Your strength is reserved for this one God. Do you see this? Our devotion, our love to the one Lord God. On and on, Scripture declares this most important truth, that there is one God. We are talking about the Father. we are talking about the Son Jesus, and we are talking about the Holy Spirit. But Scripture is clear that these three are one. 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven. Everybody said three. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are, somebody help me, one. Don't ever get that wrong. There is one God. And in order for this one God to save a humanity that had fallen into sin, God sent one mediator. Can you say mediator? 1 Timothy 2:5. Look at this verse. You need to know this one. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. One mediator. A mediator is someone who intervenes between parties that are in a dispute. Two parties, maybe they're in court, they're battling, and somebody's going to lose this dispute. That's what always happens in court. It's very rarely that they just throw out a case. No, somebody loses in a dispute. But a mediator works so that no one has to lose. In order to bring agreement between these two parties that are at odds with each other. In order to bring reconciliation. Yeah. Do you know that mankind is in a dispute with God? Yeah. And we're going to lose that court case. Because why? We're sinners. Yeah. We're liars. Yeah. We're murderers. Yeah. We're drunkards. You name it, we are separated from God by our sin. But there is a mediator who has shown up to reconcile us. And in order to mediate, you learn something. Listen, the mediator must represent both parties. Can't be one-sided in it. So this is a dispute between God and mankind. I want to tell you, we have one mediator, Jesus Christ, and he doesn't just represent mankind. He doesn't just represent God. He represents both. What am I saying? I'm telling you that Jesus is the only one who can represent both parties. Why? Because Jesus is God. He can represent God. And because Jesus is man, he can represent all of mankind. He's the only one that can mediate this problem. No angel could mediate this problem. Mother Teresa couldn't mediate this problem. Your grandmother, oh, she was so good. She cooked so good and everybody loved her. But she could not mediate this problem. Only one person could mediate this problem. But there is one God and one mediator, Jesus Christ. And he mediates this problem between us and God. Jesus is fully God. Somebody clap your hands for that. Jesus is fully God. And Jesus Christ is fully man. Jesus Christ is the one mediator. Do you get it that we have one God and we have one mediator and there is one sacrifice for sin? There is only one way to salvation. Jesus died one time and he died for all of humanity. 1 Peter 3:18 says this, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. Hebrews 10:12 says it this way. But when this priest named Jesus had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. There is one sacrifice for sins, and it is Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, if we would understand this, it would solve all the differences in our culture. It would solve the problem with racism. If we could understand that Jesus didn't come as a white man and then have to come back as a black man and then have to come back as a Hispanic man and then have to come back as an Asian man to die for all of them separately. No, with one blood and one sacrifice, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Male and female, Hebrew, Gentile, all of us once And for every one, Christ died on the cross. We have one God, and we have one mediator, and we have one sacrifice for sin. And can I tell you, there is one name. Somebody tell me what that name is. Jesus. Oh, I love a church that loves the name of Jesus. Is this a church that loves the name of Jesus? Am I in the right place? I love that one name. Do you know that there is one name that can save?
Yes.
There's one name that can save. Scripture is clear that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That one name is Jesus. Peter says it this way in Acts 4:12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Is there one name?
Yes.
Is there one name?
One name?
Oh, I'm telling you, if you're one of those people say, oh, Buddha's good enough. Muhammad's good enough. And all that, you just name a bunch of other deities and that's good. I'm telling you, no, it does not work that way. There is one name, and that name is Jesus Christ. And only through his name is there salvation. I love you clapping for it. Don't be bashful about it. I love it. The most important number in your Bible is the number one. In the year 2021, I want us to start the year focused on one God. One God, and he gets all of it. He gets all of my heart, all of my mind, all of my strength, all of my soul. He gets every day. He gets the best of me. He gets it all. And there is one mediator. And without that mediator, I'd still be lost in my sin. I could know about God, but if there was no mediator, I'd be dead meat, y'all. And that there is one sacrifice. I'm not looking for something else to save me. I'm not looking for my good works to save me. No, the sacrificial price has already been paid. It was paid one time on a cross nearly 2,000 years ago. And there is one name. And the devils tremble at the sound of that name. And dead people are raised at the sound of that name. And sick people are healed at the sound of that name. And all power in heaven and earth is given to the name of Jesus. That one name, everybody. That one name. I think the Apostle Paul would like this sermon series. I think he would. Want to put money on it? Can almost prove it. Kathy, I can almost just prove it. Both Kathys. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at all the ones that he points out. Ephesians 4. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Next verse. For there is, every time I say one, I want you to yell one with me. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Was that a bunch of ones? I'm telling you, Paul just wishes he would have come up with this sermon series. Seriously, he already preached it in Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to look back at verse 3. Put verse 3 up. You look at this verse for a moment. Make a little bit of effort, it says. Is that what it says? You know, try if you feel like it. You know, the first time someone messes up, try to have peace with them. Is that what it says? On Sundays, after church, then try to make peace with, what does it say? Y'all get my point?
Yeah.
We don't get to choose when we make peace. It says to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. I want to talk about one of the most important ones in the Bible. Is that we are one in unity. Because we have one God, one mediator, one sacrifice for sin and one name, we ought to be one in unity. Because there is one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of everyone. We ought to be one in unity. Who thinks that that is God honoring? Yes. Who thinks that that is biblically true? There are very few times in your Bible where Jesus just flat out prays and asks for something in return in the prayer. And I've got one. John chapter 17, verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. I want you to get this picture. We'll read on in this verse. You keep it right on that verse. Don't move forward. Stay right there. That they all may be one. Stay there. Jesus Christ prayed that all the people in this room, that every believer throughout the world, everybody watching online, that we would all be one. Do you realize that you hold the answer to the Lord's Prayer? We talk about so many prayers. We pray and Jesus holds the answer to all my prayers. And not this one. You hold the answer to the Lord's Prayer. That we would be united. That we would be one. That we wouldn't be nasty or ugly to each other. That we wouldn't throw accusations at each other. That we wouldn't be bitter at one another. That we wouldn't keep a laundry list of failures. But that we would let all of that go away. And that we would unite as one. Oh my gosh. That all of them may be one, looking on Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. One is what? He wants us to be one like the Father and Jesus are one. Have that kind of love for each other. That kind of unity. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Do you see what's riding on this? That our oneness, our unity is part of the reason the world will see and believe that Jesus Christ was sent into the world. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one. As we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. What a thing Jesus is asking. I'm not so sure the church world is doing good at answering this prayer. Can we get real? Jesus has prayed for us that we would be in complete unity. Do you realize that Jesus, He's prayed for us to be one? You need to become one with God through Jesus Christ. That's the job of the mediator. But we also need to become one with each other also through Jesus Christ, the mediator. That Jesus Christ then mediates between us. His blood covers us this way, with between us and God. But His blood also covers this way. Let the blood of Jesus cover every wrongdoing that your brother and sister has done to you. Let the blood of Jesus cover all your guilt towards your brother and your sister. Do you see that? Is that clear to you? Are you living that? One in unity. We need unity. We need to become one in the year 2021. We need to be one in our home. Next week, we're going to preach on that. There needs to be a unity and a reconciliation and a love that's in our homes that is not there. That is not there. Do you hear me? It's not there like it needs to be there. Not like the love between the Father and the Son. We need that kind of love in our homes. We need that kind of love in our marriages. We need oneness. We need to be one, unified in our marriages. 50% divorce rate. No way. We need unity. We need unity in the church of Jesus Christ. And lastly, we need unity inside of ourselves, because we are so divided even in ourselves. We are totally torn apart. We are distracted. Is our world, is the United States culture full of distractions? Is Netflix a distraction? Is the internet a distraction? Is entertainment a distraction? Is all the problems of life a distraction? Do you know what distraction means? It means to be pulled into. To be pulled apart. What should be one has been pulled apart and now it's two. Are you distracted? We need to be unified in our own hearts, in our own minds, in our own soul, and in our own strength. Guys, there's something wrong with Christianity. When we have one God, one mediator, one sacrifice, and one name, yet the church is completely divided into over 30,000 denominations and organizations. I'm sorry, that's wrong. We're getting it way wrong. I grew up in the Bible Belt. Raise your hand and raise up in the Bible Belt. Raise up in the Bible Belt in the blessed land of Waco, Texas. You really can't throw a rock and not hit a church in Waco, Texas. And you would, after church on Sunday morning, you'd go to a place called like the Sizzler, Western Sizzling. Oh man, it's a good place. But I remember at a young age, 5, 6, 7 years old, I would look out that buffet. My parents are getting the stuff off the line, but I'm like people watching. And I could tell everybody went to a different church. And nobody talked to one another. And nobody was friendly. And you could almost tell, like, they were like, I think they go to that church. They're one of those. And everybody was one of those. And Christians are like that. That's what denominations do. There's a church across the street, but you know, it's not a real church. They're one of those. They aren't like us. Oh, that's a nasty spirit. That's not the spirit of Christ. That is not the spirit of one body. That is not making every effort to keep unity in the body of Jesus Christ. Whoa, something wrong. If we have one God, one mediator, one sacrifice, and one name in our home. You can have that little quilted thing in the frame that says, Jesus, bless this home. You know, all those little pretty things. We have a little stone, a little rock that has the footprints, little written on it. You know, and what, where's the one set of footprints? Well, that's when I carried you, child. I got that on my mantle over there. Can have all of that stuff. The WWJD bracelets, all the stuff. But be completely divided in your home. Why aren't we experiencing the one complete unity that Jesus Christ prayed for? Why is there stressful bickering and anxiety in our homes? Husbands and wives, if you have one God, one mediator, one sacrifice, one name, then why is there so much divorce? Why is your marriage struggling like it is? Why isn't there more peace in your home? Why isn't there more love between you? Why are we lacking oneness in our marriage? If you have one God, one mediator, one sacrifice, one name, then why is there no unity inside of you? Why are you gung-ho for Jesus until 5 minutes after church? All through service, you're a minute, and then suddenly another person shows up at home when no one's there and you're all alone. When you're out at work or at school, I want to tell you that it is miserable being a double-minded man. What does the Bible say? A double-minded man is unstable in some of the things he does. No, he is unstable in all his ways. All of his ways. If there is one God, one mediator, one sacrifice for sin, one name, then you ought to have a little bit more unity inside here and inside of here, inside of here, inside of your strength, inside of all that you are. Why are you being torn apart by depression and fear? Do you have one God today? Do you have one mediator? Do you have one sacrifice for sin? Is there one name that you carry above all? If you are honest, will you admit that you are lacking true, complete unity and that you're divided? Will you seek to do something about that at the start of this year? Jesus prayed that we would be one. In a few minutes, we're going to pray together for one God to make us one. I want you to get your hearts ready to pray. I want you to go ahead and talk yourself into praying. Don't wait till the time and go, well, I might go. No, talk yourself into it right now, because there's one God, because there's one mediator, because there's one sacrifice, because there's one name. I am going to seek that one God today. I'm going to seek His unity and His peace in my life. Make it up in your mind. I want to tell you, there is an enemy who wants to divide us. There is an enemy that wants to divide us. Watch out for those that want to cause division. That's what the Bible says. There are forces in this world that want to seek to cause division. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. Watch out for those. Sometimes I like to quote King James, King Jimmy. I like him sometimes. He says it like this: mark those who cause division and offenses. He says, mark those. I want to tell you a little thing I learned many years ago. I need to love everyone, but not everybody gets the same access to my life. Not everybody's words get to have the same weight on my heart and on my mind. If I know someone is up to no good and they come around talking to me, I mark what they say. If I know that somebody has been a gossip and lied about me and my family, and then they come around me and they want to lie about Jeff, for instance, I'm like, mark what they said. Because I understand that they want to cause division and offense. Mark those that cause division. There are people, there are forces that want to divide what God wants to unify. I feel like in the original context of this verse, Paul is warning the church about those in the church who are causing division by speaking contrary notions, contrary to what unites us. They divide and put obstacles in the way of the teaching that should unite us. I'm telling you, teaching on Jesus should unite us. We should come out of this place immediately more united after talking about the one God we love and the one name that saves. There is an unprecedented amount of false teaching in the world today. And you know what? It's readily available. It's completely available. You just Google it. It is streaming on Facebook. You don't even have to go find it. It find you. YouTube. Oh my goodness. People, so many people text Bible questions and they find some false doctrine quickly on the internet. Keep away from this, the Bible says. It will divide you. False teaching will divide your faith. And this is absolutely what Paul's talking about. Let's come a little bit. It could also be this. It could be someone in the church who has trouble with gossip. I want to tell you, words can divide. We don't need that in the church. We need to be one. We aren't going to throw you out for your gossip, but we are going to pray with you. We are. We're going to do it because we don't need that in the church. Can I get a polite amen? Amen. All right. That's nice. That was polite. I liked it. All right. That's good. How about this one though? Let's step out of the church a little bit. It may be a philosophy somewhere in the world that someone has picked up and brought into the church. They try to bring it into the church. And so I'm preaching here, but somebody say, oh, that book on Oprah's Book of the Month Club talked about, you know, how can we really believe there's only one God if, you know, bringing the cultures, the philosophies of this world. Mark those worldly philosophies that bring division. Colossians 2:8 is a great verse on that. It says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental forces of this world rather than on Christ. You see, it's Christ that unites us.
Yeah. Right.
And another philosophy could come right in here and get us to rely on something other than Christ. And if we lose Christ, I'm telling you, you lose that name. If we lose Christ, we lose that sacrifice. If we lose Christ, we lose that mediator. And if we lose that Christ, we lose God.
That's right.
Can I mark a few more things that may cause division? Lord help. Here we go. Politics. We just had an election year. And it, oh man, a bloodbath, wasn't it? Bloodbath. And I have seen churches pulled apart by politics. Can I tell you, Christians aren't blue and they aren't red.
No.
I'm going to say that again. I want a church that really, y'all believe that? I need to know y'all believe. Christians are not blue and they are not red. They don't have an R. They don't have a D. Green Party. They're not Green Party either. Whoa. Guess I got Marshall mad on that one. Whew. Sorry. No, man. That stuff divides us. I think I told you, if I didn't, I'm sorry I didn't. I have repented over the idolatry of politics. I have repented over it. I will need to probably repent over it again. So y'all keep me on it. But that is not where my hope is found at all. Not even close. Not even a little bit.
No.
Mean it with all my heart. Social media. Oh my goodness. Mark those that divide you. Twitter. Instagram. TikTok. Dancing. Facebook. It will divide you. And there are people that will actually try to get in there and divide church people.
Yeah.
I've seen it. COVID-19
yes.
is a point of division. Listen to this, church. Listen, I have a very good pastor friend. I trust this guy. I love this guy. I call this guy very often. I called him earlier this year and he said, Pastor Chris, you will not believe what I'm having to deal with. And I'm like, well, tell me, my man. And he says, on the same day, I had one person in my church, a pillar in the church. I actually had two pillars in my church. You know what a pillar is? That's really dependable people in your church. Hard to move on without them. The church would really suffer if those people walked out. That's just the thing. Okay. So I had two pillars in my church. And one of them walked up to me and said, "You are gutless." Called the man of God gutless. Someone said gutless. Pointed a finger at him, said, "You are gutless because you ever shut down the church." And he tried to reason with this guy, love him, be sweet to him, be unifying with him, even though this guy is being a jerk face. There's Greek for that. I'm pretty sure it's a Greek word. Jerk face. And he gets done talking to this lovely gentleman. And he loves this guy still. I know this guy and I still love him. Then sister pillar in the church comes in. This is almost the same conversation. One walks in, the other walks in. And the lady says, "You are gutless to have opened up back too soon. You need to send all these people home right now. You are gutless." What in the world? And he just, so, "Can you believe that happened?" I said, "Yes, brother, I can't believe that happened because there's a spirit behind such activity. The spirit just showed its hand that there is a spirit of division in your church." And that's what that is. I want to tell you, it has nothing to do with COVID. It's just using COVID to try to bring division where there should be unity. Somebody say amen if I'm on the right note. Yeah, I'm on the right note. You kidding me? COVID, I don't care what you think about it. It shouldn't be a cause for division in the church. And it has divided many churches. And I'm telling you, many churches will not come back because COVID has exploded them into infighting and they have all left that church. Thank you for not being that. Thank you. But let's move on. How about this one? Anything you honor in the place of God, that's idolatry. That will take you away from Christ. That will bring disunity in your home, disunity in your family. It will seep into the church. I'm telling you to be careful with the attention you give that television. Be careful with that attention you give materialism and the news. Be careful with that. How about this one? Last one. Anything you won't allow to be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ is going to divide us. If I did something wrong to you and you won't allow that to be covered by the blood of Jesus, that's bad. That disunifies us.
Jesus.
If you do something to me and I don't allow that to be covered by the blood of Jesus, Romans chapter 16, verse 17. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions. Point to yourself. It could be me. It could be my heart. It could be my mind. It could be my words. It could be my social media post. It could be me. Watch out for those that cause division. Mark them. Mark them. If there's an area of your life where you are divided, you need to mark that area. You need to get a hold of it. You need to be unified in your home, in your marriage, in your church, and in yourself. One in unity. Jesus prayed that we'd be one. Let's do it this year. Let's be one. How important is it that we seek unity with each other? Well, Jesus really lays it on us. Buckle up. Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. We're at Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. "But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, 'Raca,'" that is an Aramaic word, that is a put down, "is answerable to the court. And anyone says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell." Pay attention to these next words. "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar," where?
The altar.
Where is it?
Altar.
Somebody help me. Where?
At the altar.
at the altar, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. Where? In front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. Who? The brother or the sister that has something against you. Be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. I want you to imagine with me a Hebrew who has traveled to the temple in Jerusalem. That's where the altar is. The temple in Jerusalem. We're talking the brazen altar. We're talking where the sacrificial atonement offering that wipes out sin is on that altar. And they would travel from everywhere. They would travel hundreds of miles, thousands of miles if they needed to get here. Imagine a Hebrew traveling all that way with his sacrificial gift, and he is right at the altar. Think about how important that journey was and what is about to take place on the altar. But then imagine that Hebrew person remembering a brother or a sister who has something against them. And imagine them leaving that very important sacrifice, that very important gift, and they travel. Who knows how far they need to travel? But they travel to go to that brother or sister and to be reconciled. This is what Jesus is asking. We don't do this enough. Drop all the religious tradition and go get right. Stop going through the motions and look in the part while you hate your brother and have unforgiveness between you and a sister. Drop it all. God would have you drop it all, get right, and then come back. And in that heart, bring your sacrifice to Him. Do you see that in the words of Jesus? Do you see that in the church? Is there someone in this room right now you're angry with? Jesus says you should prioritize reconciling to them before you come to the altar. Can I tell you, go to them today? Go to them today. If there's someone not in this room, make sure you go to them quickly. Jesus wants you to. Would you do it for Jesus? There's someone you're angry with, someone that's angry with you. Will you go to them today? We have one God. We have one mediator. We have one sacrifice, one name. Lord, make us one. Lord, make us one. Can you pray that in your heart? Lord, make us one. I'm about to ask you to come, but first I want us to remember the Shema command that Jesus spoke of in Mark chapter 12. One more time, look at it. The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Let's get that on the screen, guys. Come on. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. Let's start over. The most important one, answer Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. I want to see brothers and sisters praying as one in this altar today. I want to see families praying as one in this altar today. I want to see a church praying as one in this altar today. I want you online to pray as one with us, even if we aren't in the same room. Let's start this new year in unity. Through repentance. And as I pray, I want you to come.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.